It's a great pleasure to be with you today, and thanks for being here this morning, and welcome to all of our visitors who are here. We're glad to have you with us as well. We're going to be studying from Romans chapter 11 this morning, and so I invite you to open your Bibles to Romans chapter 11. And remember that the book of Romans, the theme of the book, is found in Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, where the Apostle Paul says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is found the righteousness of God," or the righteousness of God is revealed therein, "from faith unto faith, even as it is written, the just shall live by faith." And so the gospel is God's power for salvation, both to the Jews and to the Greeks, or to the Gentiles. And this is the primary theme of the book. And the Apostle Paul goes through and he points out in chapter 1 that the Gentiles have sinned against God. In chapter 2, he points out the Jews have sinned against God. In chapter 3, he says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 3 and verse 23. And in that assessment, what the Apostle Paul is telling us is this, that God has concluded all under sin, that he may then be merciful to all. And through Jesus Christ, we have salvation. It's in the gospel of Jesus Christ that there is salvation. Now, Paul talks about how righteousness comes about in the book of Romans. The righteousness of God is revealed therein, within the gospel, from faith unto faith, even as it is written, the just shall live by faith. And so if we want to be righteous today, if we want to be just, if we want justice, real justice, not man-made justice, but true justice, the justice that comes from God, then we will turn to the gospel. Now, Romans chapters 10 and 11, the Apostle Paul has been talking about how Gentiles may be righteous in Jesus Christ. And he's also talking about their relationship with the Jews, because the Jews despised the Gentiles in the New Testament period. And to say that the Gentiles may receive salvation in the same way that the Jews receive salvation was a great disturbance among the Jews in that particular day and time. And so Paul spends these two chapters, chapters 10 and 11, explaining how the path of salvation that the Jews in that day and time were pursuing was not going to be fruitful, and how that they needed to submit to the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. And that is said very explicitly in Romans chapter 10 and verses 1 through 4. He says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God." Now look at verse 4 here. "For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes." So righteousness is found in Jesus Christ. Now in chapter 11, Paul is asking the question, how can the Jew then obtain righteousness? And he asks in verse 1 of chapter 11, "I say then, has God cast away his people? Certainly not. For I also am an Israelite, the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God has not cast away his people whom he foreknew. Or do you not know what the scripture says of Elijah? How he pleads with God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed your prophets and torn down your altars, and I alone am left, and they seek my life. So let's think about this question that Paul asks here. Has God cast away his people? And why is he asking that question? Because if you go back to chapter 10, the last part of chapter 10, the Apostle Paul says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Or the newer translations say, the Word of Christ, or the Word of Messiah. And that is very important in his argument here, because it is through Christ that righteousness comes. It is through the Messiah that righteousness comes, not in the way that the Jews in that particular day and time were trying to earn their salvation or merit their salvation through the works of the law. And so at the end of chapter 10, as he's talking about this, he points out how the Jews had been disobedient to God. Moses says here in verse 19 of chapter 10, I will provoke you to jealousy by those who are not a nation. I will move you to anger by a foolish nation. And the other nation is the Gentiles. And that's who Moses was prophesying about there, that God would move them to jealousy. Isaiah says very boldly, verse 20, I was found by those who did not seek me. Again, the Gentiles. I was made manifest to those who did not ask for me. But notice 21, but to Israel, he says, all day long I have stretched out my hand to a disobedient and contrary people. Now, why is that significant? Because God had prophesied in the Old Testament that Israel was going to rebel against him, and that because of that rebellion, he would then turn to the Gentiles to offer salvation unto them. And so as we read through Romans 10, we come across verse 12, which says this, and this is important because it frames everything in chapter 11. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. No distinction between the Jew and the Gentile. So for both the Jew and the Gentile, salvation is in the gospel. The problem is that most of the Jews in that day and age had rejected Jesus as the Messiah, which meant that they would be lost. And so that's where Romans 11 begins. Has God cast away his people? And this chapter then is about how the Jews may obtain righteousness. Now today, many come to this chapter and they try to prove from this chapter that there is a separate path of salvation for the Jews. But that is not what this chapter is teaching. Just the contrary. It is teaching that whoever wants to be saved may be saved in Jesus Christ and Christ alone. Now, so how does the Jew obtain righteousness? That's what Paul is seeking to answer here in this chapter. Now look at verses 1 through 10 here of Romans chapter 11. Now we've already read through verse 3, but look at verse 4. But what does the divine response say to him, that is to Elijah? I have reserved for myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to Baal. Even so then, at this present time, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, then it is no longer of works. Otherwise, grace is no longer grace. But if it is of works, it is no longer grace. Otherwise, work is no longer work. What then? Israel has not obtained what it seeks, but the elect have obtained it, and the rest were blinded, just as it is written. God has given them a spirit of stupor, eyes that they should not see and ears that they should not hear to this very day. And David says, let their table become a snare and trap, a stumbling block and a recompense to them. Let their eyes be darkened so that they do not see and bow down their back always. All right, well, let's think about what Paul says here. First of all, he is seeking to show that the Jew may obtain righteousness. just as the Gentile may obtain righteousness in the same way. God has not cast off his people. Paul was a Jew, first of all, and there were many Jewish Christians in that day and time. In fact, Christianity began with the Jews. Peter and the other apostles were all Jews. Jesus was a Jew. And so Christianity began with the Jews. And Paul refers to them here as the elect. The elect. And so many of the elect were Jews. So God has not cast off his people. In fact, he accepts them. He accepts anyone who will come to him in faith and believe in Jesus, his son. And so Paul is explaining to the Jew who is upset that most Jews are going to be lost because they didn't accept Jesus as the Christ. He is explaining to them that this situation is like Elijah's situation. You remember back in Elijah's day when Ahab and Jezebel were king and queen and they ruled and they brought in idolatry into Israel. And many followed after the idols in that day and time. And Elijah thought he was all alone. But God told Elijah, no, you're not all alone. There are yet 7,000 who have not bowed the knee to Baal. And you see, Paul is saying the same situation is in effect right now. That is, yes, there are some Jews who have accepted Jesus as the Christ. And so God has not cast away his people. They are the remnant according to the election of grace. That's what he's talking about here. These Jews who have accepted Jesus as the Christ have been saved by grace, and therefore they are this remnant, just as there was a remnant in the day of Elijah. And he points out that the two systems, the system of salvation by grace versus the system of salvation by works, are incompatible with each other. In other words, you cannot have a merging of the two. To be saved by grace means that one is not saved by works. To be saved by works means that one cannot be saved by grace. And we're talking about a system of grace and a system of works. The system that most Jews had accepted in that day and time was a system of works, just as today Jewish people believe that they are saved based upon the merit of their good life, that they earn their salvation. But Christianity teaches that no one may be saved by the merit of their good works, and that if we're going to be saved, we must be saved by the grace of God. And so there's a conflict between those two systems. And Paul basically says that to accept the system of works is to not accept the system of grace, and vice versa. And so what has happened to these Jewish people who have not accepted the system of grace? Well, he explains it, that they have been given a spirit of stupor here in verse 8, that they should not see, that their eyes should not, and their ears should not hear. And this is a quotation from Deuteronomy chapter 29 and verse 4. And he also quotes from Psalm 69, 22 through 23, to show that yes, even in those times, there were those who would not hear the word of God. And so this is a common thing, that people do not hear the word of God. And so that's the main problem. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God or the word of Christ. That's how faith comes. And those who do not hear the word of Christ, the word of Messiah, will not have faith in their life. Now this means that many of the Jews have fallen and are no longer faithful to God because they're seeking a system of works, or seeking a system of salvation by works instead of a system of salvation by faith. Look at verses 11 through 24 now. Paul says, I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? Certainly not. But through their fall, to provoke them to jealousy, salvation has come to the Gentiles. Now, if their fall is for riches, or is riches for the world, and their failure riches for the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am an apostle to the Gentiles. I magnify my ministry, if by any means I may provoke to jealousy those who are my flesh, and save some of them. For if their being cast away is the reconciling of the world, what will their acceptance be but life from the dead? For if the first fruit is holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root is holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches were broken off, and you, being a wild olive tree, were grafted in among them, and with them became a partaker of the root and fatness of the olive tree, do not boast against the branches. But if you boast, remember that you do not support the root, but the root supports you. You will say then, branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well said. Because of unbelief they were broken off, and you stand by faith. Do not be haughty, but fear. For if God did not spare the natural branches, he may not spare you either. Therefore consider the goodness and severity of God on those who fail severity, but toward you goodness, if you continue in his goodness, otherwise you also will be cut off. And they also, if they do not continue in unbelief, will be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. For if you were cut off or cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted contrary to nature into a cultivated olive tree, how much more will these who are natural branches be grafted into their own olive tree? All right, so what is he talking about here? Well, he's talking about the idea that the fall of the Jews away from the Messiah does not end their opportunity. And what's his basic point? That if one is faithful to Christ, he will be saved. If one turns away from his rebellion against Christ and turns toward Christ, he will be saved. On the other hand, if one is not faithful to Christ, he will be lost. If he turns away from Christ and toward a system of works, he will be lost. So there is yet opportunity for those who unbelieve. And for those who believe, there is warning not to go astray from Christ. What was the purpose of this stumbling and falling that the Jews did? It was to provoke them to jealousy, to let them know that salvation had come to the Gentiles. And because salvation had come to the Gentiles, that brought riches to the world. It was the reconciling of the world, verse 15 says. Remember in Acts chapter 13 and verse 46, when Paul and Barnabas grew bold, and then they said to those Jews who would not believe on Jesus as the Christ, they said it was necessary that the word of God should be spoken to you first. But since you reject it, and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, behold, we turn to the Gentiles. What would their fullness be, or their acceptance of the gospel be? Paul is speaking to the Gentiles here, and he says, if the Jews accept the gospel, they will be saved. They will have life from the dead. And their fall is therefore not necessarily inevitable to condemnation. How is it that they can still be saved? And he uses two metaphors here. The first one, very brief, of a lump and the first fruit. And the lump is dough, or a small portion of dough. And then the first fruit is that first fruit offering of a cake of some kind here. And if the lump is holy, then the offering is holy. That's what he's talking about. If it was unleavened, and then the offering will be unleavened, is what he's getting at. But then he switches to the metaphor of the olive tree, and he comments on that more extensively. The metaphor of the olive tree is this, that the Jews originated within the Lord. The root of the olive tree is the Lord, and that's where they came from. They naturally came out of the Lord, and so they were holy. as long as they were attached to the root. But some of their branches were broken off because they were unfaithful. They rejected the Christ. Because of that, they were no longer attached to the root, who was the Lord, who was the Christ. And so the wild olive tree branches were grafted in. These are the Gentiles. They're grafted into this tree. And Paul warns the Gentiles not to become arrogant here against the Jews, because they all have the same root, which is the Lord, which is the Christ. Therefore, Gentiles must continue in God's goodness, or they will be cut off, just like the unbelieving Jews. But God may graft the Jews in again, if they turn back to him and to his Christ. But both are saved in the same way, and that is through the Christ. And so righteousness comes through the Christ. And that's what he says in verses 25 through 32. Let's read those verses together now. For I do not desire, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own opinion, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. And so all Israel will be saved, as it is written. The deliverer will come out of Zion, and he will turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. Concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sake. But concerning the election, they are beloved for the sake of the fathers. For the gifts and the callings of God are irrevocable. For as you were once disobedient to God, yet now have obtained mercy through their disobedience. Even so, these also, having now been disobedient, that through the mercy shown you, they also may obtain mercy. For God has committed them all to disobedience, that he might have mercy on all. And so he talks about here how righteousness comes through the Christ. Paul wants the Gentile brethren to know that the Jews may still yet be saved. And he is concerned about Gentile Christians elevating themselves above Jewish Christians. Yes, part of the Jews are blind, but not all of them. And their blindness has created an opportunity for the Gentiles to be saved. Their blindness and the opportunity by it will last until the fullness of the Gentiles comes in. This changes for the Jews. Their blindness changes when they realize that the Gentiles are part of God's plan and they repent. It's their own prejudices that are preventing them from believing. When they remove their prejudices, they will be saved. How? How will they be saved? Now, a lot of people come to verse 26, which says, and so all Israel will be saved. And they stop right there. And they say, see, God has a special plan for the Jews. And they're going to be saved separately from everyone else. That is not what this verse teaches. In fact, the word so here is an adverb of manner. It means in this way. It doesn't mean therefore here. Sometimes the word in the English language means therefore, but it doesn't mean therefore here. It means so, in other words, like this. That's what it means. So like this, all Israel will be saved. How? The deliverer will come out of Zion, and he will turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. Now this is a quotation from two different passages in the Old Testament, Isaiah 59, 20 through 21. And Isaiah 59, you should read the whole chapter. It's all about how Israel needs to repent of their sins and turn to God. And Jeremiah 31, verses 33 through 34, talk about the new covenant that God will make with Israel in which he will take away their sins. And so, understanding that Israel needs to repent, and that they need this new covenant to take away their sins. And where is that new covenant found? It is found in Jesus the Christ. He is the deliverer that's being discussed in Isaiah 59. He is the one who turns ungodliness away from Jacob. And he did that by going to the cross and dying there for the sins of mankind. And so it's through Jesus that all are saved. And in this way, all Israel will be saved. How? By accepting the deliverer, Jesus Christ, and by accepting the new covenant, which will take away their sins. Not a covenant of works, but a covenant of grace. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 28, Jesus said this, "For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." And that means that salvation, both to the Jew and the Gentile, is through the gospel. Romans 1 and verse 16, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Now notice verse 36, 33 through 36. Paul turns to praise God for his great wisdom here. He says, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has become his counselor, or who has first given to him, and it shall be repaid to him? For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen." And so Paul turns to praise God for his great wisdom in providing salvation for both the Jews and the Gentiles through the cross. The human mind is unable to fathom all of God's plans. And many have tried and many have failed. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 23 says that to the Jews the cross is a stumbling block. And so no one has known the Lord's mind in this regard. This is something that he has devised. No one is the Lord's counselor. His ways surpassed even our greatest thinking. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20 tells us. No one can make a claim of debt from God, as the Jews were trying to do, as we saw in Romans 10 verses 1 through 3. Who has first given to him, and it shall be repaid him? No one, because he has everything. All things are of him, through him, and unto him. And we must glorify God, not for what we want out of him, but for what he has done. And that's the key thought here. We must glorify God for who he is, not for who we want him to be. Because that is the basic stumbling block of every single person. Wanting God to be who they want him to be, not who he really is. And that's what Paul is talking about here. That was the stumbling block for the Jews. They wanted God to be something that they wanted him to be. And Jesus Christ did not satisfy their desires. But God does not submit himself to man. Man must submit himself to God. And we still have the same problems today in the religious world of people wanting God to be something for them instead of they wanting to be something for God. What about you this morning? Have you fallen into the same trap of thinking that you can be saved through your own system, through your own system of works, or through a man-made system of religion? If you have, then you're in the same category as those Jews who thought they could save themselves. Don't make God into something you want him to be. Be what God wants you to be by rendering obedience to the gospel that Jesus has given us. And what has Jesus told us to do in order to be saved today? To hear his word and to believe it, to repent of our sins, confess him as Lord, and be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. That is God's plan for our salvation. And would you be obedient to it today? Yes, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation today. Would you put your faith and trust in that? If so, then we invite you to come right now while together we stand and sing this song of invitation.